Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Time to catch up on the FA Cup. And to do that, we bring in no longer intern Nile, ex-intern Nile. Have we figured out how we want to ID you yet?
I think last week you said the Prem expert.
There we go.
Maybe.
So our FA Cup expert, who is on this side of the Atlantic, our England expert, it's Nile, and it's time to catch up on the FA Cup. So I know that going into the round of 64, we had a couple of matchups in your spot shadow, and the FA Cup being the FA Cup, it decided to kind of be the FA Cup, and we'll get into that too. But let's start with, do you want to start with cup sets, or do you want to start with the stuff you had in your spot shadow? How do you want to start here?
Maybe we should save the cup sets for last, you know.
All right.
Get some anticipation. But I think, okay, so one of my matches was Manchester United versus Aston Villa. For just a regular non-upset match. It was an okay match for Manchester United. They got an early goal from a great cross from Fred to McTominay. Villa could have probably done a better job defensively with that. But after Manchester United scored in the 8th minute, Aston Villa were pretty much the better side throughout the whole match, and they had chances to score. They actually scored in the 50th minute, but it would be called off after a VAR review because of a block, which seems a bit unfair and unfortunate because they were playing well. This was not a great performance for United. Aston Villa will be disappointed that they got out this early, but they put on a fair fight against Manchester United as they were arguably the better side throughout the match. Yes, Manchester United got the win. However, if Manchester United probably had a performance like this against a better team, you know, the outcome of this result could have been a lot different. There still seems to be a bit of a lack of cohesion with this team right now and a sense of direction. The narrative that has surrounded this team throughout this season is that they should have enough talent to make it into the top four, but I am not sure that they can, however, because of the form that Arsenal and Spurs are in, and they're in a much better direction as they have been playing well under their respective managers with Mikel Arteta and Conte. So can Manchester United match what Arsenal and Spurs are doing? I don't think so. So I think the most likely outcome for them is they will either have to settle for a top five spot, or who knows, maybe they don't even get into the top five at all, which more teams could be coming into form sooner rather than later. Aston Villa will play against Manchester United again in just 4 days in the Premier League, and they will want to seek revenge on that. And I think they actually could put on a performance if they want to. Manchester United yesterday looked very shaky sometimes defensively, and they just seemed to lack a bit of cohesion and, you know, a sense of direction. So
I thought it was interesting also that Edinson Cavani said that he wanted to stay at Manchester United under Ralph Rangnick, and for someone who, when you look at what Ralph Rangnick wants to do on a daily basis, and you have an aging striker up top and Edinson Cavani say that, you know, he wants to stay. He doesn't want to be a part of the transfer window. I thought that was an interesting subplot to all of this too.
Yeah, because the direction that it was going at before this was that he was going to go. He was very keen on moving, and that there were that it would looked like very possible that he would have left, but it was clear that Rangnick was like, no, I want him, and that he was like a key part of his plan. So I guess he decided to stay with that because he's probably seen as an important player for him. But yeah, an aging striker, 33. I'm not sure how much of going forward would that be for a future. But just seems like right now, it's a good fit, I guess, because they do need a bit of direction. So,
all right. Now, did you have a second one that you were looking at that wasn't a cup set, or who else was in your game before we get into cup sets?
I had a West Ham versus Leeds United. West Ham would win. I think the score was,
and they were a big favorite too. So this wasn't necessarily unexpected.
Yes. And they were 2-0. So this was not unexpected. It was a dominant performance from them. Moyes fielded a strong 11, while Bielsa kind of fielded more of a younger starting 11 due to injuries that Leeds were dealing with. Like you said earlier, West Ham was seen as heavily favorites, and they dominated from the kickoff, so it was no surprise that a goal would come. Lanzini scored in the 31st minute, maybe a bit later than early preferred, but you could argue, though, that Meslier could have handled the ball better, and that Leeds defense could have done a better job of handling that situation as well. There was an argument that the goal was offside. I don't see that it was offside, so I think that goal was fair. Bowen would close out the game in the 92nd minute. Basically there's not really anything else to say besides that Leeds United kind of fell to West Ham due to, you know, West Ham were the better team. West Ham had a lot more experience on their team. Leeds was a bit much more of a younger team. And it just wasn't a good enough performance from Leeds. And you know, Leeds United will play against West Ham on December 16th, and they will be aiming for a better performance, but it won't be easy because West Ham are obviously a good team and they're in form. So, yeah.
What other games were on your mind when it came to the round of 64? Because I know that we can weave in some Premier League topics into these games, but I guess we're kind of leaning into the cup sets now. What stood out to you in the round of 64?
What stood out to me, I think one of them was Arsenal losing 1-0 to Nottingham, because from earlier on, you wouldn't have expected this, considering how Arsenal seemed to be flying right now in the Premier League. Before this match, they were very much playing well. They put up some good results. They were good with the possession, but in this match, it was quite the opposite. They were very purposeless in possession. Arsenal had chances, but instead of using those chances, they kind of wasted them. There would be times where a player would be open. Like there was a situation in the 48th minute where Lokomba had the chance to pass to Saka on goal as he was open, but instead Tokomba kept it to himself, which led to Nottingham easily dealing with Arsenal's attack there. So it was like very much like it didn't seem to be it was not very much a connected sort of like performance from like everybody. Arsenal had much more possession than Nottingham. However, it's not necessarily what you do with it's not necessarily how much possession you have, but what you actually do with it. Nottingham was much more useful with their possession. Like on the counter, they would be very dangerous. They were able to create opportunities and they were able to test Leno. Well, Arsenal had zero shots on target. When chances were presented to Arsenal, they were not clinical enough to put them away. Either it was too hard of a shot or there was not enough awareness. And, you know, Arsenal were too casual with their possession. I don't know what was – it was just seemed very much lackadaisical at times. Lokonga made a sloppy pass in the 81st minute, and this led to a giveaway from Arsenal. And Nottingham took advantage of that. They scored in the 81st minute. And that would end up being the opener. So really, again, it's teams like this who will show up, who will put up the fight. You can't put up a bad performance like that. You have to be sure that you're on your game, because if you're not, teams will always have a chance against you, especially if you leave it late. Arsenal was very much sloppy and ineffective, and Nottingham by far were more effective and were deservedly the winners. There will be questions asked of Mikel Arteta as he subbed on a defender with just a couple of minutes left for Arsenal to find their way back in the match. They subbed in Kolasinac when probably a lot of people would be thinking, oh, they need to bring on an attacker to try and get back to the game. It was just an underwhelming performance, and it asked questions. And it was a much of a different performance compared to the Arsenal that we have known in the past recently. That's been scoring goals, that's looked confident, but now it was just a very underwhelming performance, and it rings a lot of questions heading into their next match against Liverpool on Thursday in the Carabao Cup.
And you mentioned Arsenal. Mikel Arteta actually said after the match that the team needed to apologize for what they did not do in making sure that they were supposed to get out of the round of 64. Another one of the matches that I know you wanted to focus on is Cambridge United, who, if I'm not mistaken, was 64 places below Newcastle in the overall ladder. And all you need is one. And sure enough, Cambridge United got the one, knocked off Newcastle. St. Mary's Park was full. Amanda Staveley and the new owners were present, and they laid an absolute egg against Cambridge United. Cambridge United making their way into the round of 32.
Yeah, that was probably one of the biggest upsets here. It was an interesting match. The Cambridge goalkeeper, Dimitar Mitov, he was outstanding. He denied Newcastle many opportunities. This kept Cambridge in the match. And Newcastle were just very poor as Cambridge scored the winning goal. It was like bad defending. And you could argue that Dubravka could have done better by not spilling the ball, which led to Cambridge pouncing up the opportunity. Like you said, it was a very much embarrassing defeat for Newcastle in front of 50,000. That's something where you can't be putting on a performance like that in front of your fans, especially when it's a sold out attendance. Newcastle had more chances than Cambridge, but they're not clinical enough. This led to the growing confidence in Cambridge, besides from Utah having a standout performance, because the more you leave a team like that in the match, the more confidence they'll get, because you're not taking your chances. So now Eddie Howe has now only one win since he took over in November. So that's pretty bad for a club that has big ambitions right now, that wants to spend. It's bad. Doing in the FA Cup is crucial if you're a club that wants big ambitions. And this is frankly an opportunity that Newcastle should have taken, and they should have won this match. It's pretty much inexcusable with their performance. And this loss has continued Newcastle's bad record in the FA Cup, as they reached the quarter finals of the competition just once, and that was in 2005. So that obviously there needs to be much more improvement with that. This is a trophy that Newcastle should want to win. And this was a lost opportunity for Newcastle to gain some much needed confidence, as their morale is probably low because it's been only one win since November. And as they progress in their battle against relegation, it is only lowered now. And it's a very important time for them in the season, as they need to get as many points as they can.
A couple of other notes tied to Newcastle really quickly before we move on. Huddersfield knocks off Burnley 2-1. I mention this one because it appears Newcastle is chasing after Chris Wood to help out with their injuries up top. And Coventry, our friend John Nason, friend of the network, is a big Coventry fan. Coventry knocks off Derby County 1-0, and it appears that Mike Ashley has said publicly that he has put out a £50 million bid to take over as ownership for Derby County. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well. A couple of others that I saw that were absolutely crazy. Barnsley and Barrow was absolutely nuts. And, you know, it's not every day that you sit there and you end up with 9 goals on the board by the end of it all. Barnsley knocking off Barrow, 10-man Barrow, actually, by the time they were done, 5-4. So got a kick out of watching that one. That was just absolutely crazy. You had Leicester knocking off Watford 4-1. More concerns for Claudio Ranieri for losing to Leicester there in the round of 64. And another one that kind of I got to watch, Kidderminster Harriers from the sixth tier at home, knock off Reading by the score of 2-1. So a big win for Kidderminster Harriers. And by the way, if anybody has ESPN Plus, what you can do, I think you can go back. It might be in the archive. I haven't had a chance to check, but traditionally you can go back and watch games in the archive. Go and see if you can spot the concession stand at the Kidderminster Stadium. It has, I mean, it makes a lot of Georgia high school football concession stands. I mean, it really, really does remind you of some of those. And it was just a great win for Kidderminster Harriers in the sixth tier, knocking off Reading. Reading needed a win like that to continue to advance in the FA Cup, to go into the round of 32 and all the financials that could go with that, considering they're struggling right now at the bottom of the championship. So that was a key loss for them. QPR beats Rotherham 8-7 in penalties to advance to the round of 32. And I thought that you were going to mention this one when it came to a cup set, considering that I'm the Don's Trust member here on the network. Boreham Wood knocks off my Dons 2-0, and they got a goal early, and then they also got one very, very late to kind of knock things through. So Boreham Wood advances to the round of 32 against AFC Wimbledon. But this week, AFC Wimbledon has a big League One match against the team that left town, who I will not identify by name. So that's, we're going to just leave that one to the side. The 2-0 win there. Everton was down early. They knock off Hull City 3-2. Chelsea puts up 5 on Chesterfield. Not a surprise. Southampton, 10 men. They beat Swansea 3-2. Bournemouth a winner. Luton Town a winner. Stoke shuts out Leighton Orient. Norwich gets a big win to get to the round of 32. We know how much it means to them, beating Charlton 1-0. Wolves a winner. You mentioned West Ham. Spurs, and this is one of the last two that I wanted to get into here. Liverpool knocking off Shrewsbury 4-1, but let's get into Spurs here for a minute. Tottenham knocks off Morecambe 3-1. It was scary for a while, and it looks like that Tanguy Ndombele's time at Spurs is coming to an end because of how he stormed off the pitch when he was when it was all said and done. When his day was done, he stormed off the pitch. He was getting booed because he's had a rough couple of weeks, was getting booed, and he stormed off. His time might be done at Spurs.
Yeah, that's never a good look for a record signing, especially to like walk off the pitch like that. I get it, because he's had a tough time at Tottenham, but he just doesn't seem like the type of player that he's been there for a while now. So, and he hasn't seemed to show the type of player that he can be. Before he came to Tottenham, he was doing very well with, but he was very much a stout. He was very much like many clubs were wanting him, and he was very much doing well in France. But now it's like there seemed to be some sort of I don't know whether it was a cultural change. He just seemed to have a hard time adjusting, as it is shown in the Spurs documentary. But like, it's very much seemed like he very much could be the odd man out. And in this situation, if he's a record signing and he's not performing, then that's a lot of red flags raised there. So
a couple of other notes where Tottenham are concerned. They've rejected a £15 million bid from Ajax for Steven Bergwijn, remain in talks with them over that sale. Club has also held talks with Ndombele to leave the club this January. Spurs also considering offers for Dele Alli to depart. It appears where Bergwijn joined Spurs from PSV Eindhoven 2 years ago. Remember, he was also a part of the documentary as well. And that was a really interesting section when Bergwijn was added. Yeah, to answer your question, Ndombele came from Lyon, club record £63 million in the summer of 2019. So it looks like that there will be some things running around for Spurs here in the month of January. Round of 32. So let's see. When we look at the round of 32, you've got the heavyweights, and they're getting their matchups. And this is all set for February 5th. Liverpool, Cardiff, Manchester City, Fulham, Manchester United, Middlesbrough, a couple of interesting ones. Cambridge and Luton Town is interesting. Nottingham Forest and Leicester City. Kidderminster Harriers get West Ham. You get Wolves and Norwich, Chelsea, Plymouth, Argyle. I think we know what the numbers are going to be on that one. Huddersfield and Barnsley, Everton and Brentford, Stoke and Wigan, Southampton, Coventry, Crystal Palace, Hartlepool, Tottenham, Brighton, and Bournemouth gets Boreham Wood. See, if my Dons had made it, it would have been Bournemouth and the Dons, but it's Bournemouth and Boreham in the round of 32. What else sticks out of your mind from the round of 64 as we head into the round of 32?
What sticks out to my mind is Manchester United versus Middlesbrough. I don't know. For me, that just seems like a very interesting match. And I wouldn't put it past, I don't know, I feel like that's a potential cup set there. For me, if Manchester United's form continues to go in the way it's been going, I don't know. I just feel like Middlesbrough will come in with a lot of aggression and wanting to get a result out of that match. They'll be hungry. So, yeah.
And so you've got folks agreeing with you in the background back there.
Yeah. My dog's agreeing with me over there.
Your dog is agreeing with you about Manchester United, and we always enjoy it when the puppos are involved in the conversation. All right, Niall, for those that want to interact with you on social media, as we took a look at everything here in the FA Cup round of 64 and round of 32, how can folks conversate with you on a daily basis on the social medias?
Yeah, my Twitter is Faruqi Niall, so you can follow me there. And, like, I'm happy to have a conversation. Also, my Instagram is Niall Faruqi, all lowercase. So if you want to DM me about things to talk about, I'm happy to. So, yeah.
Well, Niall, as always, it's great to catch up with you. Great to have a conversation about everything going on in England involving the FA Cup and the month of January. Thanks for hanging out with us for the FA Cup review preview. We'll catch up with you soon. Actually, we'll catch up with you on Friday, when we get to actually talk about other matches. So we'll see you on Friday, my friend.
Yeah, see you. Good to see you, John.